Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Simone Zeichman, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Commerce. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Paul Kayada. Simone, Commerce views information and technology as a strategic asset that it's both critical and pivotal in accomplishing its mission. To that end, would you tell us about your strategic vision, your strategic IT vision for the department?
Sure. And you're quite right in noting that IT is definitely a strategic asset for the department, and not IT solely from a technology perspective, but information more generally and data as well. If you look at the Department of Commerce IT spending, we're certainly not the largest agency, not the largest cabinet level agency, certainly. But if you look at the percentage of our spending that is spent on IT, we are quite high relative to most agencies. And that's because many of Commerce's missions do rely heavily on information and data, whether it's for climate modeling and weather prediction or supporting innovation through the Patent and Trademark Office, the kind of research that goes on at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. The Census Bureau obviously deals with large amounts of data. People are familiar with the census that counts population, but there's also a lot of business-related census information. And the Department of Commerce also puts out economic statistics, the gross domestic product and other types of statistics. So we rely very heavily on IT to support our mission components. But really for us, IT is the enabler. So what our real asset is the information and the data that we have, that we use, that we produce, and the products that we put out to support businesses and the general public.
So Simone, as a follow-up, what are some of the key internal and external drivers and trends that shape and inform your strategic vision?
Well, clearly one of the internal drivers needs to be the department's higher level strategy. The department over the past couple of months, more than a couple of months, has been working on developing a strategic plan for the Department of Commerce, and we're working quite fervently to align our department's IT strategic planning activities and enterprise architecture activities to support the department's strategic plan. One of the major components of the department's strategic vision is a much greater focus than in the past on data, the Department of Commerce's asset that I was just discussing earlier. So the idea for us is to look at the kinds of data that we have today that we aren't necessarily publishing and consider that as an untapped asset. What is it that we could put out there for the business community to use to create new products, to create new businesses, which ultimately would lead to job creation and help foster economic growth? What kind of data can we put out there to help businesses increase trade, which again has economic implications and is a key mission component for the Department of Commerce? So the strategic vision for the department as a whole and the importance of data within that strategic vision is one of the key drivers for much of what we're doing from a strategic level today in IT at the Department of Commerce. And then, of course, we also do have a variety of strategic drivers. Some of them are just technology trends in general, where the commercial market and consumer markets are going and how that's affecting the kinds of technologies that are available to support our mission, the kinds of technologies that people in the department want to be using, and the kinds of technologies that our external customers and stakeholders expect to see when they're interacting with the Department of Commerce. And of course, we also have external drivers that are higher level policies and mandates and directions that we're getting from the White House, the Office of Management and Budget, a variety of initiatives that the Office of Management and Budget is trying to drive across the entire federal government and that the Department of Commerce participates in.
With you controlling less than 2% of the department's IT spending and the rest managed at the bureaus, the IT mission support function within Commerce has followed a quite decentralized, more federated structure. Could you briefly describe some of the benefits and some of the limitations inherent in such an approach?
Sure. One of the clear benefits, speaking as somebody, as I mentioned previously, who has sat in the chair of a bureau-level CIO, is that you have, to some degree, a level of autonomy that helps you manage locally to suit the local needs and requirements of a bureau, a sub-agency within Commerce. And that is important because the different bureaus within Commerce do have missions that relate to commerce generally, but are not tightly linked to one another. So we have one agency that focuses on trade, one focuses on export controls, one focuses on spectrum management, one focuses on research and standards. And so these are different enough that in some cases there is a strong desire at the bureau level to have IT solutions, infrastructure, and services that are tailored to support the local needs. Obviously, the disadvantage is that that kind of a federated structure can lead to a lack of standardization, a very heterogeneous, decentralized environment. It can lead to some redundancy in services. So one of the things that we're working on right now is a service desk consolidation, because at one point, we've already started to consolidate, but at one point we had six different service desks because there were six independently managed organizations that ran their own IT services, when in principle you would like to think that maybe a smaller number, maybe even one service desk, can support a population in one building, even if those people are in different organizations according to some org chart. Mm-hmm. And the other benefit to trying to build bridges across these federated organizations is the ability to look at some of our sourcing initiatives, how we buy technology. And certainly when you buy small amounts at a local level, you're not getting the same kind of pricing benefits that you can do if you aggregate purchasing across a large agency of about 47,000 people and do buying it at a much larger scale, which allows you, again, to drive pricing down and save money for the taxpayers.
In 2012, you were charged by the department's senior leadership to develop, in consultation with the bureaus, an IT portfolio management policy. I'd like to explore the process involved in developing this and your reasons for doing it, and maybe some of the actual process working with the bureaus and how that could be potentially viewed as an example of collaborative leadership.
Well, this definitely was a collaborative effort. This was not a policy that just hit people's desk and caught people by surprise. And there were a couple of important reasons for making it a collaborative effort. The development of that policy was led by me, but had participation from all of the CIOs at the bureau level at Commerce. One of the main reasons was obviously the desire to get buy-in in advance. Nobody likes to be hit in the face with a new policy that they weren't anticipating and perhaps don't agree with. And so this allowed everybody to have a voice in the development of that policy. It allowed them to provide feedback, recommendations for improvement, and certainly led to not only a policy that had that buy-in because it was communicated early, but in fact was strengthened by the kind of feedback and recommendations and suggestions we got from the broader community. The other reason for making that policy development a collaborative effort is that the policy was not intended solely to strengthen the department-level CIO's role. It was not one of these policies that really translates to a power grab. What it was something aimed at empowering the department-level CIO, but even CIOs at the bureau level, the desire to strengthen their roles to manage their IT within their organizations more effectively, the desire to give them more visibility into what was going on even at the bureau level and more control over some of the IT decision-making at the bureau level was a key cornerstone of that policy. So the other reason for bringing in the broader community was really to get their input on how this policy could help them, not just how it could help the headquarters CIO.
So on that note, the Commerce Department has made lots of changes over the last year, delegating even more authority to 12 bureaus and to better manage their own IT portfolios, providing oversight from the department level. Would you elaborate on the efforts to strengthen the governance in the IT area?
Sure. The delegation of some of the authorities, not necessarily all of the authorities, but some of the authorities in that policy was aimed, as I mentioned previously, to strengthen the roles of the bureau-level CIOs within their own organizations. And there were situations where they may have perceived that they didn't have the level of visibility or control over decision-making within the bureau that they might have preferred. The reason for that being that a lot of the spending on IT actually takes place within the programs. It's not controlled 100% of every IT dollar under the direct control of the CIO at the bureau level. Sometimes there are programs that have IT that's supporting the programs on the mission side. So from a governance perspective, the delegations in this policy did enable CIOs to have more visibility within their organizations, but also to drive change more effectively. So some of the things that we've seen in some organizations is consolidation of IT staffing under the CIO. There may have been some people or some organizations that were providing IT functions that previously were not under the bureau-level CIO that have since been moved under the bureau-level CIO as a result of the policies or the provisions in this portfolio management policy. We've also seen changes in how performance is being managed. So there may have been people who were involved in IT on the mission side who now the CIOs have input into their performance plans, and that helps give them a little more control over what's going on within the agencies. We've also seen implementation of consolidation of infrastructure. We've seen, for example, within one of our bureaus, a large number of independently managed database servers were consolidated into a single server farm that now supports the bureau more broadly. And that consolidation creates economies of scale that makes the service as a whole much more cost effective. And we've also seen consolidation of services into shared service type environments. I talked earlier about the headquarters service desk consolidation that we've been working on, but we've seen similar consolidation of services in some of the larger bureaus where they're trying to become more efficient and improve their own service delivery through bureau-level service consolidation and shared services.
Simone, you've noted that IT portfolio at a large government agency is really not a portfolio, but more of a portfolio of portfolios. To that end, would you distinguish between commodity IT and mission IT? And why? What's the benefit of looking at things that way?
Well, I think there certainly is value to making the distinction. The reason is, speaking practically, my organization doesn't have enough staff to manage every single dollar that's being spent at the Department of Commerce. But more importantly, we don't necessarily have the expertise to manage every single dollar that's being spent. We have some very sophisticated, I would say, unique types of technologies in some cases, maybe if not unique, at least unique to single bureaus. For example, the National Weather Service has supercomputers that they use for weather modeling and climate prediction. There are also some supercomputing capabilities that NIST used for research, but that's not a generic capability that's common to every organization at the department. And so we, although in some organizations something like that might be viewed as a commodity capability, in commerce it's not. It's really used to meet local needs in a small number of organizations. And since my perspective really is on focusing on things that are department-wide, supercomputers is not something that I would spend a lot of my time and effort focusing on. Another example is the satellite ground systems that are used to manage the satellites that do observation of the Earth for gathering data that's used for weather modeling and weather prediction. That, too, is a very unique type of capability that requires a lot of subject matter expertise. And my organization doesn't have any expertise in satellites. And so it wouldn't make sense for us to pull that up to manage at the department level. So when the way we look at commodity IT is, what are the types of technologies, whether it's buying hardware or software or whether it's services, that are common to most organizations, or maybe in some cases even all organizations? What are the things that are least likely to be viewed as unique to local context? So for example, email. It's not likely that one bureau is going to claim that their email requirements are so different from another bureau's that there's no way that they could sort of collaborate either on contracting or integrating, consolidating services. And we have similar things that we try to do with infrastructure. Some infrastructure is very unique. Some of it is very generic. And so our view on commodity IT is really, what are the things that are generic across multiple organizations, not very specific to any one particular organization? And from my perspective, those are the opportunities where if multiple organizations are using a capability, technology, hardware, software, infrastructure, can we consolidate the infrastructure and operate it more cost effectively? Can we consolidate the contracting and purchasing and buy it in larger quantity and get better pricing? Are there ways of integrating services? So we reduce the number of service providers and obviously some of the redundant support for those services and improve, again, the effectiveness of our spending. So that's really how we look at commodity IT versus non-commodity IT. But there are certainly some gray areas, and it probably is not the most fruitful use of people's time to really spend a lot of time coming up with what the exact definition is, because I think there is no one right answer for what is or isn't commodity IT.
What is commerce doing to ensure its IT investments align with its overall mission? We will ask Dr. Simone Zeichman, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Commerce, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.